May the Lord bless the words of my lips and the meditations of my heart. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
In our epistle lesson this morning, St. Peter opens up his instruction to us as we hear throughout the ages this instruction over to us. He said, "The end of all things is at hand." And to that we add 2,000 years later. If we are not careful, we look at the statements in Scripture almost with a careful eye, because number of times Scripture has talks about the end of the world is at hand and the end of all things is at hand, and here we live 2,000 years after the fact. And in modern America, we are kind of tired of people saying prophetic verses of the end is near or the end is at hand, and some even giving definite dates about this is when this will happen, this is when this will happen. Not too long ago, the Discovery Channel ran a special on the book of Revelation and talked about some of the people who have taken on to the book of Revelation and tried to assign certain dates to certain events. And they were looking at one gentleman who was a cavalry officer during the war between the states. And he, after that experience, set a certain time, and I think it was 1874, and was down to like June or August, sometime in there, picked a certain date. This is when the end would happen. Well, that day came and went, and he went back and studied and said, "Oh, I was wrong." And what got me is he picked four more successive dates that, of course, never happened, but he still had followers who would walk around. In our day and times, we have heard people the same that talked about the end is at hand. We are only just 7 years from the old Y2K scare and all the stuff that was coming out at that point about this was the end of the world. Well, the problem is with dating, if you wanted to go 2,000 years, 2,000 years from the birth of Jesus would have been about 1997. So, it came and went without us really looking at it. But the end is at hand. St. Peter's words still ring true to us today because St. Peter is looking through the lens of our Lord. He is looking at an event that was so cataclysmic in its display that he said, "Nothing else can happen. This is the end of time." And even though we live 2,000 years later, and if our Lord tarries in somewhere 2,000 years in the future, people will still be meeting, they can still claim the end is here. Nothing else of this proportion is to happen. The only thing that we have to wait for is when our Lord visibly returns. With which, I want to say at the very beginning, we do not know the day nor the hour. Now, some people have flexed that and said, "Well, we can know the year." No, we can't. There's nothing about that time we can know. You can look at events in history, you can look, and the problem with doing that is we have an end that we already want. And so we take all the scenes from history and all the scenes from the newspaper and kind of throw them together and say, "See, this is what is going on." You could pick almost any period of history when there were wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and tornadoes and odd seasons and everything like. We do not know when our Lord will return. All we know is that our Lord will return. And because we have that fact, because we know that, because we still remember just a few days ago when we were looking at Ascension and the angels proclaiming, "Don't stand around staring up into heaven. Your Lord will return from the same way that He went." Because we know that, that then affects our mind and it affects our actions to where we do things that have eternal significance and eternal consequences. We do not just mutter in the mundane. We do not just mutter in the day-to-day, but we understand that what we do and how we watch and pray and how we conduct business has eternal consequences because we serve an eternal God. And the church needs to understand that as well, and we need to do things in the view of eternity. There is a writer Os Guinness. And if the name sounds familiar, he is the great-grandson of the Guinness beer maker from Ireland. But Os Guinness wrote a book, Prophetic Untimeliness. Os Guinness has written several books, all of which are very good. But if you get a chance to pick up Prophetic Untimeliness, I would highly recommend it. It's not a long read, only about 117 pages. You could probably sit down and read it in one sitting. But in this book, he says the church is irrelevant today, or in the danger of becoming irrelevant today, because it has sought relevance on the world's terms. Now, the first 30, 40 pages, he gets into some philosophy of time, and it's pretty good, as he's talking about the watch that we wear around our wrist. Around our wrist has changed everything and every view that we have. And it has hurt us because everything is down to the minute and everything is down to the second. Now, I don't see us changing. I don't see us throwing our watches away and going back to an older understanding of time. But he does make a very important point that because of how we view time, we go back and read that onto the scriptures. For example, today, the end of all things is at hand. Well, we're used to things happening now. We're used to things happening this second. We're used to punctuality. We're used to being on time for things. And so when we say the end is at hand, we're expecting it to happen right now. Not, this is the era in which we live. But Os Guinness says that the church is irrelevant because it has sought relevancy on the world's terms. We have looked to the world and said, what do you want that we can give you? Instead of looking and saying, you need what we have to offer. He says the church has looked around and said, we will change our message to meet what you're needing. We will change the way we package things to meet where you are at this time. And he said the problem with that is that we have to constantly adjust over and over and over and over. Because he said, if you have chosen to be with the times, you will find yourself quickly out of time. Because times change so very rapidly. Just look, for example, something as simple, since we had a yard sale yesterday, look at fashion. Things that were once out of fashion are now back in fashion. And I guarantee you that you could take every article of clothing, package it up, put it out, and sometime in the near future it would cycle right back around. And if we're not careful in the church, we can do the same thing. We can try to be with the times so much that by the time we do something, we're now out of time. So what we have to do is we have to say, no, we have an eternal message. We have an eternal message with its eternal packaging. And that is what we offer to the world. We offer to the world this glimpse of eternity. This that is the most important thing they can have. The most important thing they can see. That breaks through all the quickness and all the transitory of this life and says, this is what is most important. This is what we come for. This is what it's all about. And everything else is secondary. Look at the list God gives us, or the St. Peter gives us. You could condense that list that's there at the end of the epistle that says, do everything you can with the mind and understanding of God. Whether it's hospitality or teaching, do it with the mind and understanding of God.
This is an intrusion from your intrepid webmaster, apologizing because I ran out of tape at this point in Father Jamie's sermon. If I could just summarize, my closing impression of the sermon is that he goes on with the theme of time by pointing out that our actions do not just affect ourselves at a moment in time, but everything we do and everything we say carries on through eternity and is a reflection of God's work in the world. And that is a very intimidating thought, but if we just invite God's grace into our lives, He will give us the strength of character to do what needs to be done that will reflect truly upon the church through all eternity. I'm sure that sounds more like Garrison Keillor than Jamie Danforth, but again, I apologize for running out of tape, and I hope that with God's grace, I will never do so again. Thank you, and have a day now.